B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
4 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5 Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly. Welcome in. Beautiful day out there. Talking Sixers last night. They blow a game in Toronto in a very strange fashion where the center does not score a point. And the point guard forgets that there are 6 seconds left on the clock. It throws a shot up to... I'm still looking at that last sequence. Going, what is going on? All right, anyway. The 4 o'clock hour, of course, is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop. They create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. What was this tweet, Tyrone, that Aubrey Huff put out? Aubrey Huff is a former major league player who actually played college baseball, I believe, with Pat Burrell.
Yeah.
At Miami. And wasn't he on a World Series winning team?
I thought he was. I forget which team.
First baseman, slugging first baseman.
Yeah, he was a winning player some when he played.
He's like a male rights activist of some sort, isn't he?
Is he?
Yes, he's had misogynist comments in the past.
I know he's gotten in some trouble.
Well, but today it was about guns, right?
Yes.
What did he have to say?
And the guns part on its own is not the issue. He said he was taking his kids for target practice in case Bernie Sanders happens to beat Donald Trump, because guns will be very important with socialism. And then he had a target and showed his
young
kids.
What, he's suggesting that Bernie Sanders would win an election?
One, he's saying that Bernie would win the nomination. Yeah, then he would pop right, which he won't.
He's got no chance.
And then he was saying that if he beat Donald Trump, then he would need to arm himself. So he was teaching his young kids how to shoot.
He's teaching his young kids to arm themselves?
Yes. And how to shoot, because it'll be very important with socialism. That's what he tweeted out.
All right.
We're not again.
Yeah, he's whatever. Earlier in his life, this wasn't that long ago. I did remember. I just looked it up. This was when Michael Strahan was going through a divorce.
There's
a story out there that Strahan's wife wanted something like $18,000 a month in support.
Yeah.
And overall, like 15 something million.
She said that her kids, her 3-year-old, had low self esteem if she didn't get to carry like a Fendi bag. It was like ridiculous stuff.
I remember that.
Yeah. Right. So Aubrey Huff at the time tweeted this: divorce rates amongst athletes will continue to rise until the justice system is rightfully fixed. No way women who have never thrown a touchdown pass, hit a game-winning three, or hit a 2-0 slider deserve half of a man's hard-earned money just for having his babies. Nat, your thoughts.
I mean, what do you even think about somebody like that? You know, he's just one of those guys. Yeah, I'm not upset that somebody who has a propensity to, you know, take things to such extremes has that opinion about divorces. With athletes.
Now there is a saying like, she wasn't with Kobe shooting in the gym. Like that saying has been out there.
Yeah.
Only he wasn't being tongue in cheek. He was being serious.
Was
other
being
people
serious.
were joking like, uh-huh. Why does she deserve that? That was when the Kobe divorce rumors were out.
Is this guy divorced? Is that what his bitterness comes from? Because he also said marriage has become a biz for women looking to get rich off a successful man.
Here's the other thing there, Aubrey.
He's bitter. He's a bitter man.
Bitter man. You know, you have a choice in who you marry there, Aubrey.
Mm-hmm.
You could perhaps do a better job picking a woman. You don't have to
don't
marry
even know
a
what
woman.
His domestic situation is. Maybe he's happily married in his
looking at his
degree.
Friends. Listen,
I know.
Anybody out there who's considering getting married should know that beyond love, which is cute and all, it is like a business. It is a business transaction. It is. Mm-hmm. But you have to know that going in. You got to have your eyes open. Like, it is. It just is. You. It just is. But you have your eyes open. But don't be bitter about it. You can choose. That's the good thing about life. You can pick who you want to marry. If you think the woman's not about anything, don't marry her. She doesn't have her own stuff going on.
Or you
don't marry her.
Choose not to be married and have to worry about business things.
Exactly. It's a choice. It's a choice.
Yes, it is.
It's a choice. If you're rich and the woman is a cashier and then you get divorced, you think she's going to go back to just being a cashier? You're the fool for marrying the cashier. What did you think was going to happen? Like, that's on you, buddy. Perhaps.
Are you advising men not to marry cashiers?
Yeah, what I'm saying is that men in general should perhaps look at something beyond face.
Beyond? Beyond what, Ty?
Beyond face and bosom size and such. And perhaps look into the brain and see.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah, a little bit more. And I think that a lot of pro athletes pick, many of them pick women who.
They don't pick the brain?
No. It probably doesn't matter if she can read nor write. And then they go, oh my goodness, now I have to give her some. Well, of course you do, man. What were you thinking about when you got married? Especially these guys get married multiple times. That's on you. I feel no sympathy for you. You got to pick your spots. Any woman that comes, and if a woman comes along after you already have $50 million, well, what you getting married for, period? You got $50 million.
Prenup it.
Yes, that's all.
Yeah.
You prenup it. If you don't, you get what you get. I don't feel bad for none of these
guys. We want prenup.
Right. Like, what do you like Derek Jeter. He get married after he retires. All that money he had, if he didn't have a prenup, he's a damn fool.
Exactly. Now, Natalie.
Yes.
Let's go into the female view here.
Okay.
Of the prenup.
Yeah.
And since we're on this, and since we're just looking for a way not to be angry about last night's Sixer game.
Okay.
Some rich dude. Now, you're obviously a wealthy media woman.
Yes.
But some rich dude comes along who is a lot wealthier than you.
Uh-huh.
And he asks you to sign the prenup. Is that a sign of lack of love for the Nat?
No, not particularly.
Would you be insulted by the mere mention of the prenup?
Not a mention of the prenup, but I'd have to see what it entailed. Like what the rules are.
So you're not automatically out.
No.
But if it's hampers you and it's one-sided, you're out.
What do you mean hampers me?
If it's if it cheats you out of, you know, it's all one-sided and he doesn't have to give you anything.
No, I think it would have to be something that was fair based on the current, you know, whatever the current situation would be.
Let me give you an example. He makes, let's just use a round number, he's $50 million. On the way out, you don't get half, you get $3.5 million cash. Do you sign it? That kind of thing. Like, you're getting money, but you're not getting near the 25 that you might be, quote-unquote, entitled to.
The prenup, but here, the
capture
I'm
at 3
about
4.
The perception.
No, I don't. That, for me, personally, it doesn't bother me, because if I marry somebody, I would want to protect myself if the situation was vice versa.
There you go.
And I would hope that the guy wouldn't mind.
You would ask
I'm
the
so
guy
romantic.
To sign a prenup?
Yeah, if I had more, yes.
That's good for you, Nat.
I didn't work this hard.
Yeah, that's good for you.
Give it all away.
I'm just curious what the mere mention of a prenup would do.
I think it's just a very standard. It's very a standard 2019 thing. I think I kind of grown up with the expectation of being independent and kind of, you know, being able to take care of myself and protecting. It's more of like a protection of assets more than it is anything else.
Okay.
And especially because the divorce rate is so high anymore.
Plus, it has Leonardo DiCaprio.
You got a sign.
And he said, and the prenup says you get zero of his fortune.
Right.
You just sign that. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
You're in?
Yeah.
Because you make relationships. You be good at the end.
I mean, fine.
You be all right.
Anything you say, Leo. Josh in Philly. Josh, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Josh?
So, tough loss last night. And I'm watching this last sequence, and I feel like as fans, when we criticize Ben Simmons, we're often pacified by the idea that he has a vision and basketball IQ, and those are two things that I just didn't see in the fourth quarter whatsoever. I see, like, the bad pass to Tobias. I got, you know, that these are vision issues. I guess my question to you is, at this point in the season right now, is Ben an all-star?
Yeah, he's an all-star, but he's not fulfilling what Ben Simmons should be. He's going to be an all-star.
But I'm wondering if that's just through our own lens, or does the national lens still view him as an all-star? Because I feel like the only reason you guys were talking earlier about what would make Ben Simmons.
You know, this year his scoring average is down. It may alter this year. In general, he's regarded as one of the league's top players, right? And I hear where you're going with it. I haven't seen the progress. And I keep saying to myself, wait 25, 30 games. I know I don't have to wait anymore. I know what's going to happen, Ray. He's just not going to do it. He's not, he is like, in a lot of ways, a Stu Nod when it comes to his self-evaluation. Mm-hmm. And he's got a shell over. It's almost like he lives in a glass bubble where nothing gets in. And it's very weird to me that he has no self-evaluation.
No, and I think it was during the exit interviews last year, he got asked a question and he sort of deflected it saying, he's like, oh, it's a dumb question. I'm an all-star. And I'm just wondering if it takes...
He opened up this year and said, I know the shooting is not one of the best things I do. And I go, wow, that was landmark. Because now he knows what the gap is. And he's obviously determined to close that gap, but he hasn't. He just has.
Well, you hope it happens.
It goes on game to game to game, and it's the same thing. He's got 10 medium range jump shots that he can take a game. He doesn't take a one. He's got drives to the basket where he knows that he can power up and get fouled. Instead, he bails out. It's the same thing all the time.
And I just don't think he'll change until he gets it out of his head that he's an all-star. That's all.
All right. Could be right. And like I said before, these two guys, both of them. Now, Embiid is more a consistent scorer rebounder than Simmons is. But they both think Embiid is so caught up in he's the best big man in the league that it doesn't matter as much to him the flaws in his game. Ben Simmons is so caught up in him being Ben Simmons that he is oblivious that he could be better. He already thinks he's a great player. Drew in Westchester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, Mikey, how are you?
What's up, Drew?
Good, man. I just want to talk a little Eagles here and the next few games of the season. And I was trying to think of the right word to you know, how I feel about these next few games. And I finally came up with the word, and it was apprehensive. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because I didn't want to say concerned, or I didn't want to say worried. It's kind of a little bit, or anxious, or any of that. It's a little bit of all that. But, you know, we got three games versus, 2-9 teams coming up here. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Mike. I don't know if we can win all three of those games. I could see a possibility of a stumble here.
Yeah, I don't.
And you don't see any stumbling.
No, these teams stink. At the end, if you're talking about these quarterbacks having to beat the Eagles' defense, which is probably their strength right now, how's that going to happen?
Right, yeah. Well, if we have to rely on the defense, then hopefully that will carry us.
Now Fitzpatrick scares you a little bit, but that team's so dreadful. Even if Fitzpatrick, they gain a lead, right? And the Eagles will settle and right the ship and win that game. And the Giants, you're going to tell me Daniel Jones is going to beat them. The kid in Washington, he doesn't have to tie his shoes in the NFL yet.
I would say no too, Mike. You know, mm-hmm.
I'm not worried at all. You know. Even though I'm not that high on the Eagles right now, I don't think they're at that level where they're going to lose one of those games.
All right, I hope not, man. So hopefully it comes down to that Dallas game, and I'm looking forward to seeing you next. Was it Wednesday for the Philly Feud?
Correct. December 4th is the big. 97.5 The Fanatic versus the Callers.
Yep, that call right there tells me he's vulnerable in a Philly Feud. I'm feeling more confident than ever.
Well, listen, if you're going to set a line on that game, what would you set it at?
I got to say the 97.5 crew, minus 400.
Minus 400 is probably a good line.
Yeah, minus 400. Yeah, unless there's some question that gets me like cultural, uh-huh. Like, the ingredients for green bean casserole or something.
Yeah.
Other than the green beans, I don't know.
I gotta be honest with you. I know you don't like Jim from Salad. He's probably their strongest competitor when you think about it. Because you know Jerome, we've had him on past General Knowledge Wednesdays. He freezes up a bit.
He does freeze up.
Jerome freezes. Drew can sometimes go into, you know, na-na land.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And Vicente.
He knows stuff.
He does, but half the time he wants to entertain you rather than get the answer out.
That's true. Is there a time limit?
I think it's a short line. Yeah, it's a time limit.
It's a time limit. He might be up there telling the story. Well, Mikey,
exactly. And then I go,
Correctamundo.
And then he gets it wrong.
You know what we didn't talk about today? I can't believe it. Flyers did win the game last night. We're all enamored and lamenting the fact that the Sixers lost. The Flyers had a big win last night over the Canucks, coming from behind after JT Miller lit the lamp early for the Canucks.
Great defense.
Here comes Coots.
Coots with the goal.
Coots from Jakey and Hag. Or Haig. Then Jakey with the laser inside the right post from Brawny and Coots.
Stop it.
Listen, I got to be honest, because I'm watching the Sixers, but I was at the TV, so they had the Flyers on.
Uh-huh.
When I kind of like how, I can't say kind of, I really like the way the Flyers play now.
You do?
Yeah, they only allowed that team to get 17 shots
exactly
yesterday.
A mild night for Carter Hart. He only had to make 16 saves last night.
Right, because the defense was sound, but they get up, they attack with youth. They got a youth. So they skate, and it's free-flowing.
And after the game, Jakey said he's got his swagger back.
He might have it back. That's big. That's big. The Flyers are going to the playoffs. I can't wait to be doing the show live from the barn. I will be. I will be when the playoffs come. I'm always down there at the barn. 2 years ago, I was there. I can't wait to be down at the barn doing the show.
Yeah.
Fired up.
Yeah, I get fired up.
Fly or die. Isn't that the saying? This year, fly or die.
There's only one issue.
What's
usually at the station?
So you're a black man going to a hockey game? Is that the issue?
That's not the issue.
What's the issue?
I'm usually alone at those games, but that's all right. I'm used to being alone a lot of places. The pool, camping, wherever it may be.
You mean a group of brothers doesn't come over and hang with you?
No, there's none to be had. I love it in the workers. The problem is the person in charge of our Flyers credentials doesn't work here anymore. I never got my Flyers credential.
It's down there at the barn.
I can pick it up at the barn?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, sure?
Yeah, it's at the barn. That's where we're supposed to all pick them up, at the barn.
I never got a notification.
Yeah, they have them at the barn. So as you walk in, they'll have it.
All right. I'll stop over there tomorrow night. Yeah. Yeah, Sixers. Yeah, I'll stop over there tomorrow night.
Yeah, they'll have it.
Because I don't have my Flyers credential.
You're Tyrone Johnson. Just walk in. Hey, I'm Tyrone Johnson. They go, okay, here it is. And it's in the box.
Yeah. Are you sure? Because the other guy used to handle all that.
Well, no, only because he was down there. And he would get them from the box.
All right. I'll get them.
They got them at the box.
Okay.
And from the box there at the when you check in.
Okay.
All right. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. The Fanatic.
Oh, yeah, it's 4:30, and it's time to update our Twitter poll. Sal Pal's coming up at 5:15, by the way, in case you forgot. It's Tuesdays with Sal. But the Twitter poll has priority right now, brought to us by Paulie Murray and Sons with Natalie Eganoff. Natalie?
Thanks, Mike. Over 2,200 votes on this one today. Who are you most frustrated with right now? 37% going Carson Wentz, 33% say Peterson and Brown, 18% Joel Embiid, 12% Ben Simmons. So Wentz still in the lead.
The Sixers are getting a break today because of Carson Wentz's performance on Sunday, which I thought would have worn off.
I also think that despite, not having any points last night, Joel Embiid's kind of infallible.
To the
fan base.
Yeah.
Not to
the city.
Tyrone will tell you, not to me.
No.
I know not to you.
But yeah, he's so beloved here that.
Yeah, I don't like a lot of stuff he does.
I know you don't.
And I know people think it's charming, the stuff he does. I want a dominant player, man. That's what I want. I want somebody to snarl at you and dunk on your ass.
He's dialed a lot of stuff down this year. Other than the one incident, he's dialed stuff way down. And I think that's part of why he hasn't been playing well.
Really? You think he needs that?
Yeah, some players need stuff that they're just different in how they're wired. Shaq had weird stuff that he would do. He just didn't have social media. But Shaq did some weird stuff. He needed to do the rap music and the movies and stuff like that for him because he needed to get away from and play that character. That's what he needed to do. It probably shortened his career because he was doing other stuff, but that's what he needed to be great. I think he needs all that extracurricular stuff. And outside of the one incident, he hasn't done anything on social media, and he hasn't trash-talked anybody.
You know what? Just be a dominant player. I don't need that. I really don't. And I'm not anti-fun. I'm not anti-fun.
All right, Mike, off the top, name one thing you've ever liked that was fun. Ever. In sports. You've never liked anything that's fun. You are anti-fun, and that's fine. No, we can't pretend you're not anti-fun.
I'm not anti-fun.
What do you mean?
I like a lot of fun stuff.
Like what?
I like celebrations. I never complain about that.
That's true.
I never complain about fun stuff. I don't like the clown act when you're not averaging 30 a game. That when you average 30 a game for me, you're a dominant player, then you can do anything you want. Well, you know, I'm easy when it comes to that.
Well, last year he was averaging 27 when he was doing that stuff.
I know, but this year he's not.
But he hasn't done that stuff this year. I don't need this
where he's fighting a guy and it's like good for the team. It's not good for the team.
Well, that was one incident.
All right. Well, that's the one I didn't like.
Right, but that's just...
I didn't like it last night either. I don't like Ben a lot. I don't like everybody when they do something that aggravates me. It's not blanket across the board. I like and dislike. I give you the like, I pull the like away for certain things. I'm fair that way.
All right.
All right?
Yeah.
All right. Now, H writes me. H calls me OG.
Okay.
Yo, OG. Only way to humble Ben and force him to shoot is to trade him to a bad squad. He has to be humbled because he thinks he's cool where he is. He said in the offseason when asked about shooting, he responded, I'm an all-star. And then PR made him change his tune a few days later, and he says he knows he needs to shoot. I'll bet Ben thinks he did enough last night. In Ben's head, the loss was Embiid's fault, not the fact that he hardly ever scores 20-plus points.
Correct.
Ben has never faced adversity. He's like Prince Siddhartha before he saw poverty. In order to become his higher self, Siddhartha had to face adversity and hardships. Going through adversity turns Siddhartha into Buddha. I can't argue with that. Ben needs to be humbled or he will never excel. He is cool with where he is. All Ben wants to do is dress nice and buy new cars to show off on Instagram. He doesn't want to win a championship because he never won before. He's not a champion. He's just a talented player that was blessed with height and athleticism. Well,
that's where he went too far.
I didn't go too far when I criticized Ben, but what I did say is that he doesn't have the self-awareness to and the desire to be better than or the will to be better than he is because he thinks he's already there. That is my biggest fear with Ben Simmons.
Yeah, but I think they both want to win, but I think they don't know how to win. I think they both want to win.
The way you win is to be better than what you are, to be a better version of who you are.
Right, but just like when Jordan had to lose a couple times. Remember, Jordan got swept. Mm-hmm. We remember the 6-0 playoff, like championship Jordan. But before he got there, he got swept in the playoffs. He loses to the Pistons. That's when he decides to lift weights. He comes back a killer.
But he never diluted his game. His game was always full. Ben dilutes his game.
No, he does. What I'm saying is sometimes you have to be humbled. Mm-hmm. But I don't think a trade will humble him, but what does that do good for the Sixers?
No, it does the Sixers good. It's overstated, and that's not what I want to happen because I couldn't care less. I care about Ben here.
Right.
I don't care about his well-being to turn into Buddha in some other city.
Yeah, I don't care if he goes to Sacramento and now all of a sudden he's making 35% of threes and becomes a dominant player. I don't need that.
No, I don't need that either. I'm not invested in Ben being the successful human being. I'm invested in Ben being the successful Sixer that leads us to a championship.
And unfortunately, what I'm looking at now, the way it is right this minute is it's going to take a butt-kicking again for it to kick in, and I don't want that to happen. I want the scrutiny and the thing and the pressures in real time to get to them. Mm-hmm. But I think it might take, and this stinks. Now, maybe it's in the finals. Maybe they get humbled by Paul George and Kawhi. But it's going to take, it could happen to the Bucks. But they need to be humbled more clearly because, like you said, they both think they're better than they are.
I can't wait for that.
Of course you can.
I can't. So, for instance, and I don't know if this could ever happen or I know if it will happen. And, I'm not anti-Brett Brown, and I would like to see it work with Brett Brown. They get through 40 games, and they're still inconsistent like this. And they hire Thibodeau's head coach again, isn't he? Or is he still out there?
All right. No, he's out there. Nobody wants to touch him.
Yeah, nobody wants to touch him. Suppose they hire him. He comes in without rhyme or reason whether people like him or not. And he says, fellas, you're not going to like me. This is the way we're going to play. And then it's us against them. And then they play with a different purpose. And that turns it around rather than me having to wait another year. I don't know.
It would get them to play hard, but then he's not a good enough coach and you lose anyway.
Well, you probably would. But suppose he wins, he wears out his welcome, you fire him later. But to salvage this, I don't know.
Maybe.
Anto in Syracuse, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Anto.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
What's up, man?
Just wanted to kind of touch on Carson Wentz. And
mm-hmm.
I think you can criticize the guy, but to be honest, I think a lot of the criticisms that you're seeing out there right now, they're just lazy. If you want
to criticisms are lazy?
I think the criticisms are lazy mm-hmm. because I think the real issues with Carson Wentz when you think about him down the road, and I'm a big Carson guy, mm-hmm. but if you want to criticize, the guy's got dead feet in the pocket. He doesn't move well in the pocket and stay in it to avoid pressure. He looks to look for that, big play, extend the play.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never had good ball security. Those are three legitimate criticisms that stem back to his rookie year. If you want to criticize the guy for missing Miles Sanders in the flat, he makes that play 9 to 10 times. Live in the 99% of reality. Don't focus on this one little thing. Or you talk about...
Wait. Hold on a second. Now, the week before, he missed three targets, first down at the 26-yard line. This week, he missed at least five open targets. Now, are you cutting him a little too much slack here?
I think that, yes, he's missed.
We're not just looking at one Miles Sanders play. This has been a cumulative two-game thing.
Sure. So if you want to total it all up, there's probably 8 to 10 missed plays over the past two games. I would argue that of those, there are some receiver mishaps, and I'm not going to sit here and say that all of his issues are on that. He's played two bad games. They've been two bad games. But when you don't have receivers sitting in the hole, when you don't have receivers that are turning and getting to the sticks and then stopping and cutting their routes short because it is third down, and when you don't have receivers that are ever helping him out and making a catch, God forbid you do something that's athletic, obviously that's going to be issues.
But he's supposed to be good enough to overcome that, isn't he? That's why he's paid $40 million, isn't he?
He's definitely supposed to be good enough to overcome those.
Okay.
And he's shown that he can do that in the past, but he's got to have something. So if you're going to criticize him for the things that are...
I think people are well aware that he doesn't have receivers. They also have eyeballs.
They do. And if they were watching it a little bit closer, I just think criticize the guy for the work of body of his career. Don't criticize him for the past two games when he's had by far the worst circumstances he ever has had. Like, you, as a Philadelphia Eagles fan, you should want the guy to succeed. You shouldn't want him to do poorly.
Well, don't you think they want him to succeed? He's a big boy, man. When you get paid that kind of money, you put a spotlight on you. You don't think they want him to succeed? Of course they want him to succeed.
No, they
don't. They're disappointed that he's not succeeding.
They do not want him to succeed. No, they don't.
Those Foles idiots don't count.
No, I'm not talking about the Foles. By and large.
As a fan base, we want a franchise quarterback to succeed.
No. Yes, we do. No, we don't. Not when it comes to him. He's disliked. People are rooting for him to fail by and large.
I don't think they're rooting for him to fail. They're just frustrated that he is failing. 610-632-0975. We're back after this. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
.445 Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Flyer fans are awakening. I was just looking at Twitter. Flyer tweets out there after last night's game. Very underplayed last night, that game. Head to head with the Sixers.
Yeah, it's tough.
Sixers-Toronto.
This actually, that was the first of four head-to-heads this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, too.
Hmm. It's
kind of dumb by the schedule makers.
So you got, like, what are you guys, arm wrestling, the NBC Sports Philly studios there?
No, everybody's assigned.
Game shows and Sixers Outsiders and...
Well, no, just some the hockey people end up taking, like, the lounge where Crystal and I usually sit. Yeah.
You guys give each other hot foot?
No.
Like they did in the, like... Mr. Baseball?
Nah, the hockey people are fine people.
Yeah, they are very fine people.
I'm talking about the ones that work. The new host is very nice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Katie Emler, is
she's
that her name?
She's very nice.
Emler, she's so Emler, nice.
She's
yeah, I met her too.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Very sweet.
And you still get the Kobe Cullen in there, my favorite guy. He loves me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll keep waiting. I don't know why he hasn't called in.
Kobe loves me.
Yeah, he wants to talk to you about the game.
Does. Yeah. Sit down, talk some hockey, Colby, one night. Grab a cigar.
And, of course, Terry.
That's right. Bundy.
Bundy.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm up for it. Boys, invite me out. To the hockey lounge.
Yeah, they're in there. They take over the lounge, so we got to sit out on the floor with everybody else.
All right, let's go to Dave and Sal. Hey, Dave, they still going to the Super Bowl?
What's popping, Mikey Messi?
Wait, tell me how they're going to the Super Bowl.
I don't care if they go 7-8-1.
You had a win in last weekend. What happened?
In theory, they did win. Just fell apart. Oh my God, Mikey Mess! I just dropped two smoke show stewardesses off at the airport. It is maddening down here. It's not even Thanksgiving Eve yet. I cannot get out of here. I'm boxed in.
What do you mean? You dropped off with two drop dead stewards? What are you? Are you doing Uber?
No, they were at my place last night, and they had to get to work. They got a flight.
Is your whole life like a
fiction? That's not true!
A fiction. Seriously, I swear to God, you live in a fantasy world, dude.
The police are checking cars, right? For terrorism. This is crazy.
Hey, listen, if you drove by me, you'd be the first guy I'd stop.
Mikey Miss.
Yeah.
Speaking of divorce settlements, did you see what Eldrick Tiger Woods paid Aileen Nordegren? How about $500 million?
Well, he had it, so, you know, he might as well got to give it up.
I spoke about the possibility of the marriage of Dougie Pete and Carson replicating what Brady and Belichick could do, maybe 4, 5, 6 Super Bowl rings.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, something went terribly wrong with Carson. Is it fixable, Mike, or do we got a Andrew Luck on our hands for the next 10 years?
I hope it's fixable, bro. You know, I've seen it before where a guy never gets back that confidence. He's got a confidence problem. I got to think as they improve their weapons for him, he'll get a little more comfortable and he'll be fine. He certainly has the ability to do it.
Mike, I'm looking back. I think I hate to say this, we could have probably grinded out one more Lombardi trophy with Nicky Six and I would have been happy. I could go to my grave happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I hang in there on Carson. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to move on from him yet because it's foolish to move on. You got to start all over and then you still don't know. You know, I...
Mikey Miss, anyone from the A-team reporting for duty Thanksgiving?
No. No,
you guys have a great holiday.
We are all off on Thanksgiving. Elin Nordegren. I had a major. She's a big timer in my book.
Yeah, she should have had to give back some of that money, though.
Why?
She got from Tiger.
Why?
She married a guy. She ended up marrying a billionaire. So when you get remarried.
No, she married the next football player.
No.
Yeah.
That guy's. No. He's worth billions, over $1 billion, that new guy.
Jordan Cameron.
That's not who she married.
She had a baby with him.
Are you sure?
Well, I mean, I'm sure if Tiger didn't cheat on her with prostitutes and all the women that he did,
she
would have stayed married to him.
Yeah, she loved Tiger. She dated Tiger just because she loved him and thought he was a good guy and thought he was sweet.
What if she did?
That happened. She did not.
You don't even know her.
You're a damn fool.
And she shouldn't get back the money after putting up with Tiger.
Yes, she should. Hold it. Let me get to the story here.
I'm pretty sure she married a billionaire.
Online, Elin Nordegren's baby is here. And RadarOnline.com is the first exclusive photos of her happy new family. Tiger Woods' ex-wife and the child's father, former football player Jordan Cameron, hung out with their new baby on Friday, October 18th, at her son's soccer tournament in Florida near her home.
I'm going to dig in more.
Did she marry somebody else and she just had a kid with this guy?
Pretty sure she married somebody else along the way. I'll find the story.
She was with
the boyfriend.
A coal magnate?
Jordan Cameron, whoever he is.
Yeah, he used to play. He made a Pro Bowl.
He did?
Yeah, he was for the Browns, a tight end.
Yeah, he's 31.
Yeah, younger than she is.
Mm-hmm.
I get the scoop, Ty. Did she marry somebody else? She married a rich guy?
No, it says that she had another relationship with a coal magnate philanthropist, Chris Klein.
So what happened to this dude? He just had a baby with her and he ran a pattern?
There it is. Yeah, coal magnate. Yeah.
What he
died July 4th. Yeah.
Who died?
The coal magnate she was with.
He died? Yeah. Well, he's 60.
Hold it.
She had a relationship with this big billionaire guy who was a coal magnate after Tiger Woods because she only dates for love.
Oh, wait a minute. So this football player came after the coal magnate died?
Yeah. Well,
all right. So she's happily ever after with the young guy?
Yeah.
Oh, he died in a helicopter crash. That's really sad. At 60, and now she's with the 30-year-old.
Wow, there you go. And she just had a baby with him.
Yeah.
She had a baby with the coal guy?
No.
So the coal guy was just...
Was he an older guy? Was it a sugar daddy dude?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
But according to Natalie, she would only date for love. She loved Tiger. She didn't date Tiger because he was Tiger Woods. She just loved him.
All right, I'm pretty sure Tiger probably hit on her, so she accepted the date and then married him, not knowing that he was going to cheat on her with every woman that walked by him.
Yeah, she didn't know.
So she should give some of the money back?
Yes.
Why? Because she married somebody else?
When she with some old man... You don't have love. You're just out there looking for a scandal for cash.
You're just excusing Tiger's behavior right now.
I'm not excusing Tiger's behavior.
So why should his wife give the money back?
He should give the money back because she wasn't
pure apart. He embarrassed her.
No, she tried to kill him.
So? He deserved it.
What about, she deserved the murder? See what I mean?
She tried to kill him.
Yes, you remember when
she busted that? Yeah, he was running from her when she hit him.
She had a golf club.
Yeah,
she was on the front page of every tabloid. She was mortified.
She tried to take, you don't try to kill a man. We cannot pretend that domestic violence was okay. She tried to take him out.
No, she didn't.
That's why she broke the back window to save him out
the clubs. She was mad about the clubs.
Hold on a second. We sometimes venture off into these things. All right. His cell phone, a text comes in from a woman he's having an affair with, and she sees it, and it's a sex text. She's supposed to do what?
What's she supposed to do? She's supposed to get mad.
Sit there and watch Dancing with the Stars?
She knows she got a bunch of money coming. Get mad. Don't strike him physically. Don't strike his vehicle.
How many times was she through that with him?
Don't strike the car with the golf club, the back window, when he's in the front to save him.
Don't do anything physical. You're caping for Tiger for no reason.
I'm not caping for Tiger.
You are.
I'm not caping for Tiger.
You are.
I'm not.
My man deserved a 9-iron in his windshield.
Sure did.
For that.
Tiger Woods is a bad guy. Elin Nordegren, a bad woman. That's all. I just think it was two people married who weren't good who marry each other. I don't think Tiger's good. I don't think she's good.
Dude cheated on her time after time. She finally caught him and grabbed the
everybody.
Golf club.
With everybody. Not only that, he was doing all those crazy drugs. Like, chill out.
All right, let's go to 5 o'clock hour.
She's taking care of the kids.
Sal Pal.
Nanny's doing that.
Coming up at 5:15 on the Mike Misnelli Show. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.